are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Pompeii, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Sounds. We are elated that you have chosen this broadcast on this evening, and we look forward to God blessing you. Stay tuned.
Believe, we're always constantly believing things about God. If you get to know God, stop trying to believe who you don't know. Look at your neighbor and say, stop trying to believe who you don't know. Let me say this here. Now knowledge comes in measures. It comes in measures. I heard my son, he was, you know, talking about the scripture about where, you know, Moses, where Aaron and Miriam, you know, they had a measure of knowledge about God. But they didn't have the same measure of knowledge as Moses did. Come on. And so they were throwing Moses up under the bus. As a matter of fact, Moses really was a wonderful picture of the Savior, because he's a picture of the Savior. Because he brought, the Lord used him to bring Israel out of Egypt. So he's a picture of the Savior. Okay, y'all catch this now. Y'all catch this. And so here he is, a picture of the Savior, now who's in the camp and marries an Ethiopian woman. He's now a picture of bringing in the Gentiles. My God. And so he had a revelation. Here he is. He's living under what? Grace in a dispensation of the law. He's the giver of the law. Come on. I'm just saying, he's a picture. We got to catch this thing. Because sometimes even people don't understand your revelation. Come on. Oh, glory to God. And there might be something that you don't understand, but guess what? Shut up and pray about it. You know, it's amazing. I was telling the preacher, I said, man, I've talked with some preachers. I've talked with some preachers, and you say something about speaking in tongues, and they'll be like, speaking in tongues? What you talking about? Now, these folks preaching the gospel now. I'm just saying. And they don't have a clue. And they're running around talking about this is not for this day, this is not for this hour, it's been done away with. Hold up, God says that there will be things that will be done away with, but who in your pride has told you that God has done away with it now? Or in the time that you want it to be done? See, because the problem is that, guess what? It has manifested in their lives, and so as far as they're concerned, it's done away with. Well, as long as you keep believing with that little measure that you're believing with, it is going to be done away with in your life. Come on, somebody. Thank God that he isolated me to elevate me, because I you know what, the I was up under a ministry, wonderful ministry, come on, but that was just things that they didn't believe. Come on, they had limits, they had measures. Yes. And it took for me to get on the Space Center, get around a spirit-filled preacher, come on, and what was on him began to rub off on me, to the point that I was in the back of the locker room. Nobody had to lay hands on me. God filled me with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in tongues, and I was like, look at this. I had to almost watch it from getting an attitude, because I'm like, man, some stuff just wasn't being taught to me. Oh, glory to God. And I realized that, guess what, I was dealing with people that had measures or general knowledge, that thought they knew God and really didn't know God. They knew God, but they knew God in degrees, and they were stuck on a level and weren't trying to go any higher. Look at your neighbor and preach to him again. Say, there's another place. You're in a good place, but there's another place. There's another level. There's more to it. Glory to God. And he checked Aaron, And he says, I deal with Moses on another level. I'm just kind of, you know, putting it in I'm just kind of shortening it up. And so we have God that deals with people on a whole nother level. But the Bible says that in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, it says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Virtue has to do with behavior. Come on, it means goodness. It means holiness. Come on. It also means righteousness. You can look up this word in the dictionary. You're going to probably see all of these here, you know, similar words. Oh, glory to God. And then to virtue, knowledge. To virtue, knowledge. See, I've come to find out that my hate behavior is a gauge. How many got gauges in your vehicle? It's to tell you the amount of something that you got in your vehicle. In other words, you got a gauge in your vehicle and you got a full tank of gas. Oh, glory to God. You got a lot of content in there. Come on. You can go further.
Okay, all right.
You can go. But if you pulled up here and you're on E, come on. Oh, glory to God. You don't have as much gas or content, and so you can't go as far. You're limited concerning the distance that you can go. Can I tell you something? The more knowledge you got, the more God can use you. The further in God you can go. You can go into places that other folks can't go. Why? Because of your knowledge about God. You can witness to people that other folks would normally be able to witness to. Why? Because guess what? God know that, guess what? With your limited knowledge, that you'll mess some folks up, you'll hurt some folks, you can destroy some people's life. You know, oh, glory to God. I've been in a house where I've seen people get bad knowledge and bad information, and then got grease heating up on the frying pan, and when the person walk in, take it and throw it on them. Come on. They got some bad information. Come on. They didn't know God to trust God enough to do it for them.
Jesus. My God.
So, because my behavior is a gauge. And when I see my behavior and it don't line up with what I'm reading in this here word here, that means that, guess what? I lack knowledge in that area. And I got to go get some knowledge. I got to go get some more understanding. I got to find out what God has to say about the matter. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Are y'all getting anything out of this?
Yes, yes.
Because here are the children of Israel in the book of Hosea. They were saying, because God literally told them, he says, you're going to come to me and you're going to say, but God, we know you. Because they were saying, we know God. They were like a lot of us as Christians today. You know, somebody was telling me a couple of days ago, oh, yeah, we have so many, you know, Christians, people that confess to be Christians here in the United States. But how many of those people actually know God? You can confess to be anything you want to be. Here in America, you can confess to be anything you want to be. Come on. Oh, glory to God. People are saying, I'm this and I'm that, and you looking at them like, well, either he crazy or I'm crazy. And I know I ain't crazy. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. So they definitely got to be crazy. But I ain't looking at what you're trying to tell me you are. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Okay, all right. Okay, I'll make it. I'll be nice. If I'm looking at a sandwich, don't tell me I'm looking at an orange. Come on. Oh, glory to God. These folks have lost their mind. Oh, glory to God. That's why a senator, a congressman, she finally came over to the other side and she said, these folks are insane. I'm like, it took you that long to figure it out? Come on. It didn't take long to figure out these folks are insane. And we got these insane folks, okay, in government. Lord help me. All right, I'm going to leave that alone. Yep. Because some of these folks, some people have voted for some of these insane folks. All right. That's right. Oh, glory to God. Your hand was involved in it. I ain't talking about none of the people in here. I'm talking about the folks listening on the internet. Your hand was involved in this insanity. Come on. Oh, glory to God. And you need to repent. Oh, glory to God. All right. It's kind of like a woman who puts a crazy joker as her head. Come on. And you don't want to marry nobody that's crazy. Oh, glory to God. So when you put bad leadership over you, okay. Oh, glory to God. So God says in Hosea 4, verse 1 through 3, oh, glory to God, and you don't have to go there. But he told the children of Israel, because they were talking about they know God. And God was telling them, you don't know me. And God was saying, there's no truth, there's no mercy, there's no knowledge of God in the land. Come on. Because how can you know truth and how can you know truth without knowing God? How can you know mercy without knowing God? Without the knowledge of God. Oh, glory to God. You can't know truth. You can't know real truth. You don't know anything about mercy. Come on. Oh, glory to God. It's one of the attributes of God. You can't even show mercy. Can't even love the proper way without God. So here was God saying, you don't know me. That's a hard pill to swallow. When God tells you that you could, God don't lie. So somebody had to be lying in that dialogue, that conversation. And so sometimes, you know, people, you don't want to say, you know, you lying. You ain't got no Bible. You ain't even got a Bible app on your phone talking about you know God. How you read the Bible? How you? Okay, all right. I'm just messing now. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Look at your neighbor again and say, I know that you know God. But there's another place. There's another level. Ooh, it's time to take it to another level. It's time to take our knowledge to another level. How are we going to do exploits? Come on. Oh, glory to God. Let me say this here. The people in the world, they got, there's religious. Okay, all right. But we're not doing exploits. What's going to set our, what we believe apart from other folks? Come on. Okay, all right. All right. Because a lot of times we're sitting around and we're quoting the truth. The Bible says the truth will make you free. But then we got to go get some truth so we can get free.
Yes.
We got to get enough truth to get free. Okay, all right. Where was that? Where do I want to go? All right. I'm wondering, should I bring it in? Maybe just a few more. Can y'all stand a few more minutes of this?
Oh, yes.
Y'all can?
Yes.
All right, give me about 5 more minutes. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Tell somebody going to church don't make you know God.
Amen.
Because sometimes you got people that say I know God but can barely quote a verse of scripture.
Amen.
Or two. Or three. I asked one person not too long ago, but quote me some scripture. I was at work and quote me 5 verses of scripture. I don't even know if they got past the first verse. You know how it is. You know the verse. You know the. Okay, all right. I'm gonna leave that alone. Wee. All right. Knowing scripture don't make you know God.
That's right. That is so true.
Yeah,
now you're preaching.
Knowing scripture don't make you know God.
That's right.
Being in church all your life don't make you know God. It don't mean you know God. Because you can know church and not know God. Ooh, when I got to New Hope, come on, I knew how to play drums. I jumped on the drums and started playing. I've been playing drums, you know, yeah, but hey, that didn't mean I knew God. I was just a drummer.
That's right.
Oh, glory to God. And I thank God that I came into a knowledge. Oh, glory to God. But we live in a day and age where people think that just because they go to church, that's their ticket into heaven. Okay. Okay. See, because let me show you something. I thank God for this word, because you know what it's doing? It's tearing down.
Yes.
It's tearing down. How can I say it? Strong ways of thinking. My wife said, thank you. I'm trying to think. It's tearing down strong ways of thinking. Because even if it's not for you, people that are listening in, come on. They need to understand that, guess what? Don't go to hell through the church.
That's right.
All right. So God wants us to come to a place of knowing. And I'm going to try to wrap it up. We've got about 2 more minutes. Come to a place of knowing. Come to a place of knowing. When you know so much about Him. I'm going to say that again. When you know so much about God, that the enemy can't keep you stuck. The enemy can't keep you.
Right.
Oh, glory to God. When I look at Apostle Ron, and I was praying that day for the diabetics, and my wife went to take a test, you know, as you have to physical every once in a while, and the doctor said, what are you doing on diabetic medicine? You don't have diabetes. Come on. That's a person who knows something.
Amen.
That's a person who has some knowledge. Come on. Yes. Oh, glory to God. Who knows something. And we got to get to the point where we know so much that the devil can't kill us.
Okay.
We know so much that the devil can't keep us broke. Come on. We know so much. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. And what am I talking about? We know so much about God. And this is why in Psalms 91, the Bible says, God said this. Now, God jumped in the middle of David's psalm. David was writing out his psalm. He was like, ooh, that's a good one. I'm writing this thing out about God and probably singing it a little bit. And all of a sudden, God jumped into his song. Come on, somebody. And said, because he has set his love upon me. Speaking of intimacy. Speaking of hanging out together. See, let me show you something. When I first met my wife, come on, I could just spend hours on the phone. Oh, glory to God. Just even listening to her breathe. She was, I was enjoying that. Come on. Sitting there listening to her breathe on the phone. Why? Because, oh, glory to God, I was falling in love with her. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. It was any kind of way that I could spend time with her. She was in Louisiana and I was in Florida. Come on, somebody. But the phone was our connection. Come on. And I was spending time with her, getting to know her. Come on. Oh, glory to God. And because don't tell me that you love God and you ain't spending no time with Him. You got those folks too. I know God. I love God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, what's God's name? I mean, because He has set His love upon me. So here's God saying, because He decided to love me, therefore I will deliver him. Hold up now. He's talking about delivering the people that love Him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. God says, I'm going to elevate him simply because he knows me. Enough. Because sometimes we're saying, I know a person, you don't even know where they live, you don't know their telephone number, you don't know where they work at. Come on, your glory to God. Your knowledge is just general knowledge about the person. And some of our knowledge about God is just general knowledge. Come on, somebody. Do you really know God? Because if you knew God, come on, you'll start birthing stuff. Come on. You'll start birthing some businesses. Come on. You'll start birthing this and birthing that. Oh, glory to God. We'll be looking at you tonight. That child pregnant, you know?
Yes.
The fruits of the Spirit will start birthing in your life. The gifts of the Spirit will start birthing in your life. Come on, somebody. When you really get to know God, come on, somebody, you'll receive seed from God. Come on. It's hard not to get pregnant. Pregnant from this message today. You so pregnant. Come on, you're gonna go home and start reading the Bible for hours now. God says, I'll set him on high because he has known my name. He says, he'll call upon me and I will answer him. What's that verse? I'll be with him. I'll be with him in time. Come on. Oh, glory to God. I'll just put it this way. I'm not going to Psalms 91. I'll put it this way. There's benefits to knowing God. You're valuable to God. Come on. Oh, glory to God. God can use you. Oh, glory to God. God know that. God know not even bother some of us. We could be walking past a person. Oh, glory to God. They could be given a death sentence. And he won't even bother you because guess what? You don't have the knowledge to deal with it. Oh, glory to God. But some of us can walk past a person and say, you see that person? I was in McDonald's one day. Oh, glory to God. And I was walking past a lady in McDonald's, and I said, you know, Lord, let me know that you got something going on right in here. And she, I think it was Ann Acid or something. And something. I said, I didn't even know the woman. And she was like, yeah, whatever, you know. And anyway, so I prayed with her. Do you know the voice of God enough that God can use you? God can use you, not just in church. It's a big world out there. And so after that, I saw another person that I knew, and because he was sitting nearby, he heard and saw what was going on. Praise God. And I had some general knowledge of him. He was a business owner and stuff like this. And he was trying to be a little smart. And I said, well, hey, you know, I didn't know that lady. I said, but that's God. I said, do I know you? And she was like, no, and stuff. And I think I ended up praying for him. Might have led him through the sinner's prayer. All of this in the McDonald's. I can't remember everything that, you know, occurred. But let me say this here. Oh, glory to God. This is why we got to get to know God. God want to use us. It's a dying world out there. Amen. Come on, stand. Are we going to bring it on in? Because, boy, I tell you what, I could probably keep going.
To go along with what you just said now, I was at work one morning waiting to go in, and this lady ahead of me got out of her car, and she was limping. I ran over to her, and I said, are you okay, honey? Oh, she said, my back hurts so bad, I got a rotated hip. I said, do you want a miracle? And she stood there, and I said, now listen, sweetie, I'm going to put my hands on your hip, but I'm not going to move my hands. But you're going to get that miracle. Your hips are going to be rotated this morning. I said, in the name of Jesus, those hips went boom, boom, boom. Her eyes bugged up wide. She was shocked. I said, do you know Jesus? She said, no. I said, how about asking him to come into your heart right now? And right there in the parking lot, she said the sinner's prayer. Be in season and out of season. Wherever God leads you and directs you, be obedient, because that's when the blessings come. And because of that, I think that's why we got a place this week.
Sounds to me like a person that knows God. I want somebody to say, I know God, but I'm about to go to another place. I'm about to go to another level in my knowledge. Oh, glory to God. Everybody stand, man. And on your way up, say, God, give to me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Disclose yourself to me. Reveal yourself to me. Spirit of the Lord God, teach me. Teach me about, hallelujah, the Father. Teach me about the Son. Open the Word. Open the truth to me. Come on. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Come on. Was y'all playing that earlier? Or was it just my imagination?
We want to see.
We want want to see. Oh, okay. Well, how about we want to know you?
Thank you for listening in to Kingdom Sounds. Be sure to listen in Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Our service times are Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. and Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. If you have a prayer request, you can send it in to VIPMinistries@att.net. We are located at 250 North Babcock Street in Melbourne, Florida, 32935. VIP is empowering God's people to overcome what's overcoming them and mobilizing them to impact society. Our prayer is that God will bless you and keep you, that He will make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Be blessed.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look in an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Recently, five-time world chess champion Magnus Carlsen resigned a match with 19-year-old Hans Niemann and accused his opponent of cheating. His allegations have since been substantiated. And in professional poker, a relative newcomer was accused of cheating in a game in which she won over $260,000. And then, in a video gone viral, about 8 pounds of lead weights were removed from the bellies of Ohio walleyes that were caught in a professional fishing tournament. This string of cheating scandals points to a reality of the human condition after the fall, a reality that spans time and place, not to mention cultures and sports that range from popular to the less than popular. At the Olympic Games of 388 BC, which was the 98th Olympic Games, a boxer named Eupolis of Thessaly bribed three opponents to throw the match. In response, the Greeks raised statues of Zeus along the route to the competition, with lightning bolts raised to punish those who would bribe or cheat their way to victory. Of course, the irony was that Zeus, called the Oath Giver, was a notorious oath breaker, cheating again and again on his wife Hera. Even so, what's odd about our time and place is the outrage over lead weights and dead fish, and our simultaneous shrugs over affairs, open marriages, and no-fault divorce. A recent YouGov poll found that roughly a quarter of Americans were interested in an open relationship. According to Gallup polling, though the divorce rate has actually dipped in recent years, the social acceptability of divorce, that's at an all-time high. In fact, it's not uncommon to excuse this kind of romantic cheating as something other than cheating. We call it self-care, living our truth, following our hearts, being true to ourselves. One New York Times op-ed even claimed that, quote, divorce can be an act of radical self-love. According to the author, I divorced my husband not because I didn't love him. I divorced him because I loved myself more. Look, bifurcating morality is always a dead end, both for individuals and entire societies. It's foolish to think that breaking one of our words won't lead to breaking others, or that somehow our society will be ruled by honor and kindness when we routinely choose and celebrate the opposite. Despite all of our modern experiments with the family, it remains an institution that, in the words of G.K. Chesterton, cannot be destroyed, but only destroy those civilizations which disregard it. Morality and its absence are both contagious, especially from one generation to the next. After all, families are the place we first learn to trust and to be trustworthy. And if we don't learn it there, then where? As British poet William Cowper asked, when was public virtue to be found where private was not? Summarizing a detailed study on social norms, BBC journalist William Park came to a similar conclusion. Quote, the greater the proportion of your friends who you believe have cheated in their relationships, the more likely you are to have cheated in the past, and the more likely you are to say that you would be willing to cheat again in the future. In The Abolition of Man, C.S. Lewis highlighted the foolishness of societies that deny the existence of moral truth and yet somehow still expect moral citizens. Quote, we make men without chest, and then expect of them virtue and enterprise. We laugh at